conscious of this or not, but it seems to me like that there's a spirit that comes out of Western North Carolina. And it's a good one. Yes, sir. It's a good one. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Philippians with me this morning, please. Church at Philippi. The Apostle Paul addresses it, one of the so-called Pauline epistles. Epistles, a letter to a church that existed at that time, 2,000 years ago. The apostle addresses certain issues, and we're going to start reading with verse number 1, chapter 1 of Philippians, chapter number 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace, for God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, of the glory and praise of God. Now look at verse 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Father, bless your holy word now. In your name I pray, amen. You can be seated. This is classified as what's called one of the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon are prison epistles. There's great tradition out there that says the Apostle Paul was martyred at what's called the Mamertine prison, or the Mamertine prison in Rome. We don't know that to be true. That is not necessarily historical. There's certainly nothing in the Bible about that. We do know by reading the book of Acts, the apostle was kept in his own hired house. And that's where he is, no doubt, when he's writing this epistle of Philippians. But it didn't stop him from writing the word of God. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were written when he was locked up. It didn't stop him. He didn't go around feeling sorry for himself. You know, he didn't quit on God. He simply said in verse number 12 of Ephesians chapter number 1, I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He sounds exactly like Joseph when Joseph stood before his brethren and said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He's able to take that which man does and overrule it for the glory of God. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He's God, always has been, always will be. We prosper, we grow greatly when we begin to understand the one we serve today. You think your life is in your hands, and it really isn't. It's in his hands. Amen. And keep in mind that when the apostle wrote this to the church at Philippi, he was writing to a place at one time he and Silas had been locked up for the word of God. And at midnight, the Bible says, they sang praises to God. They're at Philippi, he and Silas. That's quite a thing at midnight to be singing praises to God, locked up in shackles and chains. And no doubt it got throughout the jail because they heard him. But it didn't stop at that, because the Lord sent his angel, broke them free, brought them out of there, and away they went. You see, the circumstances are in the hands of God, as this sister just sang a moment ago, and you understand that sometimes things don't work the way we want them to or the way we understand them. But we can't serve God because we understand. The Bible says his ways are above our ways, his mind above our mind. He worketh all things. The Bible said all things work together for good for those that love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. But keep in mind, the Apostle Paul used this occasion. He looked at it. He prayed over it. He discerned the spirits involved in it. And he said to himself, well, I'm here. God knows I'm here. He allowed this to happen. Here I am. And so I'm going to glorify God, whether in life or in death. I'm here to serve the Lord. And my dear friend, there's nothing greater than that. There's no higher calling than that. That for your life to glorify God. Not me. Not some tradition that I lay down. Not some group that I belong to. No, not for the accolades of men. But my life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Our life is not what we understand it to be. We don't understand the full essence of everything that we are. We have a politician out there who's saying that God is non-binary. I don't know if you've heard that or not, but let me explain something this morning. God is a spirit being. He's spirit. He's pure spirit. God the Father I'm talking about is absolute pure spirit being. All right? Now, we do not know the essence of a spirit. This is why we cannot fully understand the essence of our life, which is hid with Christ in God. We're seated at the right hand of the Father. We're citizens in heaven now, not will be future. So this is a spiritual understanding of our nature and who we are. So it's sad that when a man, purely for political purposes or cultural purposes or whatever, makes a statement that God is non-binary, he's screaming from the housetops, I'm stupid and I'm ignorant. And I want to be kind when I say that. Whoever told him that is just as bad as that. You don't know the essence of a spirit, folks. What he's trying to do is drag God down, redefine him, and apply him to this present culture. That's garbage. But I think you know better than that. I think you've been told enough. I think you've read your Bible enough to understand that we serve a living God. No man hath seen, no man can see. He dwells in the light which is unapproachable, unseeable, unknowable, except through Christ our Lord. No man knows the Father but the Son. No man knows the Son but the Father. We will never know God the Father except through his Son. And the only way we know his Son today is because the Father hath drawn us to him. And I know him because of the Spirit that dwells within my soul. And when these ladies got up here a few moments ago and began to sing, man, did my spirit ever connect with their spirit? Listen carefully to me, please. The Bible says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The mind is the thinking faculty of the soul. Your mind can change before this day is over. Your mind can be affected by the circumstances and realities of life. Your mind, my dear friend, is a fluctuating thing. It's something that you better not spend all your time thinking about, because you are a spirit being, and that's what you are. Your mind may change, but your essence will not change. If you are born of the Spirit of God, you may go through times when you're some confused and don't understand and can't figure it out, and you wonder what's happening to me. But once you get through it, you're still the same person you were when you went into it, if you're born of the Spirit of God, because the Spirit doesn't change like that. And one of the greatest things about this apostle that touches my heart and in my soul is that I never heard a word come forth from his mouth. I've seen what he's written. But here's the thing that gets me about this man. He said, none of these things move me. What's he mean by that? He means by that his spirit is preaching to me and speaking to me in such a way that words cannot speak. Would you listen to me, please? This is important. Your message, the greatest preaching that ever goes on inside a church house, is not so much of the easy words that come forth from our mouth. It is the spirit of who you are that reaches out and touches other people. That, my dear friend, writes in their soul, in their spirit. That's where we have the fellowship of the Spirit that the apostle talks about. And if you are unsaved, it may touch you, but you cannot fellowship with it. But if you're born again,
If you're truly born of the Spirit of God, you are fellowshipping, a reciprocation. Here, back, touch me, I touch you. It moves me, I move you. And it is a bonding thing that brings us together, is if we have the same spirit. That's our identity, that's who we are. You can form all kinds of clubs and movements and this and that and this and that and this and that until you wear yourself out. But that's all it is. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So number one is the spirit that connects us. Number two is the life you live before the people who are watching, witnessing. Not the words that come out of your mouth. Words are cheap. Words are easy. Words are so cheap. But it's how you live your life. It's how you interact with each other. It's how you treat that one that is less fortunate. That one who you know is begging for love. That one who's down and out. You remember the man who fell among thieves? And you remember who helped him? Over and over again in the New Testament, we have the Samaritan brought up in contrast to the Jew. And every time the Samaritan winds up on top, the Samaritan is the one, the Samaritan, who poured in the oil and the wine. It was the Samaritan of the 10 lepers who came back and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And the Lord said, we're not 10, we're the 9. That's the problem, you see. You've never been touched in the spirit. And that's the life that we live in the flesh. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So mark that down. The spirit that emanates from you, the spirit that you can't control. I can't control my spirit. I am what I am. I am what I am. You know, I mean, some folks are, they can phrase, wordsmith, as some say, all kinds of high-sounding theology and all of that. But friend, what is that in the end? What has it done for you? But when you see a brother or sister going through something and you know that it's tough and it's rough and you know it's not good and you know it hurts, and you see how they deal with it, and then you see the spirit that comes forth from them, that's ministering to you. And this is what he's doing here in Philippi. He's ministering. And here's what he said, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Here is the apostle to the Gentiles, and he's locked up in jail. Surely God's got something better for this man. No, this is the way he works. For he says in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. See, that's exactly what I just said to you. They're watching him, and he's ministering to them in the way he handles the adversity that's come upon him. So in verse 15, we come down to the nature of men. And you're going to find this everywhere. It's in the church. It's everywhere. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Can you believe that? How many of you believe that the church is full of men who are there? You just happen to be one of the stepping stones or one of the rungs in the ladder to a higher church, bigger church on up the... How many of you have ever seen that happen? Of course you have. You know you have. You wonder what's going on. They're just using you to head higher. All right? And this is what's going on here, even of envy and strife. Why would you want to add envy and strife? Why would you want to add to the sufferings of a man who's locked up in jail? Why would you want to hurt him? Did you want to hurt someone? Even envy and strife. Did you realize that strife will wear you out? Strife can kill you? How does your life touch other people? Are you a blessing to them or are you a curse to them? Do they want to be around you or they run when they see you coming? Think about what I'm saying to you. It's quiet in this house. Woo, that's okay. At least you're listening. But am I not telling you the truth? You can't live in strife, folks. It'll eat you alive. Strife will wear you. And not only that, but it will make you vulnerable to attack of spirits. And we know what spirits are out there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we are wrestling and discern the spirits. So he said, some preach Christ of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. My goodness gracious. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. But now look at this man's attitude toward all of this. Look at how the Apostle Paul deals with this. This is remarkable. This is his, look at this man's character, verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding, in other words, in spite of it, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Boy, that's something. He said, you're going to get up and you're going to preach Christ to add affliction to my bonds. And you're going to say, look at me. I'm not locked up in jail. God surely has his hand upon my ministry. It's got to be greater than yours. The Apostle Paul didn't make any difference. You're preaching Christ. Well, I really don't mean it. I know you don't mean it. But the name has power in it. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Well, preacher, you don't know. The preacher that married us ran off with another woman. Preacher this and preacher that. I got saved under so-and-so's ministry and he became the worst apostate in the world. Yes, but he didn't save you. It's the word of God that saved you. I was preaching in a church here a few years ago and they told me, the brother did, he said, the pastor of this church said, enough of this, enough. And he quit. He slammed his Bible shut. And he walked out. And he took hold of a woman sitting on the front row. Took her by the hand. And said, let's go. And they got up and they walked out the back door. And away they went. And it wasn't his wife. His poor wife was sitting over there. And she watched that happen. Bless her heart. God bless her soul. And it destroyed her. And they say that for years after that they could see her walk in the streets. They could see her in places, in dark places in Knoxville. That it just literally took the life out of her. Oh, that God could have sent somebody to minister to that dear soul. That God could have sent some soul that could restore her and help her and bring some comfort into her life. Now, the preacher that did that, he slammed his Bible shut. Away he went with another woman. You suppose that he's ever going to get up in the pulpit and God's going to bless him? Now what he says, God will honor his word. But him? Oh, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for his life. No, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for his life. Let me say this while I'm at it and I'll move on quickly. Sometimes when you see people pass away and you know that they've lived for the Lord and they love the Lord, but you see something happen to them, and they're gone, that's a good indication they were saved. It is. It's a good indication they were saved, for the Bible says if you live after the flesh, you'll die. Born again. He doesn't chasten the unsaved. It's his people he chastens. God help me that I'll never do that. Oh God, who am I? Who am I? Who am I to stand before you today and say something like, God help that I never do that. Amen. Because in my power, in my ability, well, I don't have anything. Without him, we're nothing. Absolutely nothing. So what am I going to do? By the grace of God, I am who I am. I got to go to him. I got to talk to him. I got to fellowship with him. I need his spirit in my soul. I got to get alone with God, folks. I don't know how you do it, but I can't make it without him. I can't do it. And I have little struggles and little battles that I fight. And we go into them. We fight these battles. And we deal with these issues. And in every time we do, I come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is new. I've never been down this road before. This is all new to me. And so I have to turn it over to you. I've got to put it in your hands. Help me, teach me, show me. I need strength. I need your hand on my soul. And every time I learn more about God, I learn more about him because he always comes. He's always there. And he will be for you. He will be for you. Do you think God had abandoned the Apostle Paul here at Philippi? Do you think he'd left him alone? Why, no. Do you think God abandoned Joseph? The man who had dreams, the visionary, the one who had the coat of many colors. Do you think the one who was a prophet? Do you think God abandoned him when he was sold into slavery? No. Potiphar's wife wanted to fornicate with him? No. God did not abandon Joseph, but he was willing to accept his lot. He was willing to accept that he was placed in Egypt, away from his land, away from his people. He was placed in Egypt, and it was there that the Almighty was going to use him and bless him. And that's life. That's life. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 1, if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, and I hope you understand by now, I've belabored it so many times, this is who I am and what makes us who we are. If you do not know what fellowship in the Spirit is, God bless your soul, you need to find out. You need to know what it is. You do. You say, I pray. Preacher, good, you pray. You can't pray too much. Pray 24/7. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. But do you know what the fellowship of the Spirit is? What is it, preacher? It's communication. Yeah. It's you talking to God, God talking to you. You're receiving from Him what you have to have at that moment. There's a light that comes on. There's a voice that begins to move. There's something inside that begins to take hold of your heart and your soul and lifts you from the drudgery of what you are living in. The fellowship of the Spirit is when God makes eternity real to you, makes spiritual things come alive in you. Builds a desire in you for the word of God. You want to take, you can't get enough of it. And you want to be around God's people. And you want to be like this Bible school coming up tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. I love watching the kids have a good time. Love it. Amen. Some of you have been grumping and grapping. Come over and watch these kids laugh and run, play a little while. Be good for you. And then get something spiritual. Something spiritual. As they can take it in at their level, give them something spiritual. How many agree with that? Amen. That's what you got to do. Don't let that bunch of devils have them. Amen. Well, they're just fellow Americans. They're the enemy. Amen. There's no discourse with these people. There's no dialogue with these people. Amen. They want to run drag queens in front of your children. Amen. Who are you kidding? That's not somebody with a different view. That's the enemy. That's wicked, vile garbage. Keep your kids away from them. They want your children too. Have you noticed how they want to go right into the schools? Oh yeah. They want to go right to your kids. You got to understand. You have to understand what's going on in order to deal with the battle at hand. Chapter 2, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit, bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So the apostle introduces us to humility. Yes, he does. This brother that was with us Wednesday night, I love that brother. He's good. He's a hard worker, no doubt about it. Amen. Brother Fisher. In his message, he said that it's only 2-3% of the churches in America say anything about sin. Did you hear that? How many were here and you caught that little section? 2-3%. So what are they talking about? Well, what are they preaching to people? How many of you are sinners? Don't you want somebody to talk to you? Don't you want somebody to tell you something's going to help you? Denial's not going to help you. Fellowship will help you. Now, I won't go back all 1 John 1, 7, 8, and 9 again, or 8, 9, 10. I won't go back to all that again. But Lord have mercy, folks. We have to have the fellowship of the Spirit. And humility. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. The Bible said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Yes, that's a wonderful thing. There's a song. I don't know if you've ever heard it. I'm sure many of you have. This on YouTube. And they've got these three girls over there in Romania or somewhere. They sing it. And they do such a good job. And I've listened to them so many times. Here's the title of it, Bow the Knee. How many's ever heard that? Bow the Knee. What does that mean? That means accept God Almighty's power and righteousness and authority and lordship over your life. I'd like to change some things, but bow the knee. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do what? What's it say? And do not the things which I say. Give him lip service. Bow the knee. In words of it, listen, type it in. Go to YouTube and just type in bow the knee. You'll probably find a lot of different people doing the same thing. That's fine. I'm not trying to push anybody. Bow the knee. That's not easy to do. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. In other words, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't rebel against him. Run to him. Don't go off somewhere, you know, griping and complaining. You know, come to him and say, Lord, here I am. You don't have to tell me why. You don't have to explain all of it to me. I just can't go on without you. There's nowhere out there. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Truly there, truly, where would you go? And get on, you see them advertised on television, psychics in California. And you can get a good deal, too. They've got a good deal on that. I mean, you can, something like, I forget how many minutes you get and so forth and so on. And boy, people, this is something. I don't care what a psychic in California has to say about anything. I don't want a psychic in California. I want the Holy Ghost talking to my soul. There's nowhere to go, folks. Where are you going to go? Philosophers at UT. UT's got a lot of good things, but they got a lot of garbage, too. You want to run to the philosophers? Where are you going to go? Science. Okay. Science. You ever those people who worship science? You ever seen them? There's one the other day. Theoretical physicist. Here's what he said. They're starting to release all of these things of UFOs. He said, if a human being was in a vehicle traveling at the speed that that vehicle is traveling, and then all of a sudden makes a 90-degree turn, you would turn to vapor. In other words, your body could not hold that kind of, what they call it, G-forces. G-forces. He says, this is beyond our understanding of science as we know it. I thought, oh boy. All of you science worshipers. Science has the answer to everything you say. Oh, does it really? You're dealing with something now that's being revealed to people that is on a different level entirely. Now, what is it? Well, I believe personally it's demonic. Yes, I believe that, sure. Somebody said, we're not alone. We never have been alone. What made you think we were alone? When we put him in the garden, here's this beast in there, you know. Don't worship science. Worship the God that made science. Leave it to him. So, if there be any fellowship with the Spirit, humble yourself. I want to give you these three things, and I know you've had them before, but look at chapter number 2 and verse number 7 of Philippians. But the Bible said he made himself of no reputation. Now, this is steps in condescension that you find in Philippians 2. Steps. Okay. Not just one big lump, but steps. And in verse number 7, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Now, watch this carefully, the wording. And was made what? All right. He's a man, fully man, but he's not a man like you're a man. Okay. He's the second man, last Adam. There never was one before him. There never was, never will be one after him. He's one of a kind, but he's fully a man. He's fully a man, fully God, fully man. In other words, there's a mystery about Christ. Here's the way the apostle said it to the church at Timothy. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now watch what he says. God was manifest in the flesh. All right, that's the incarnation. That's when God became man. Are you telling me, preacher, that the Lord Jesus Christ was God Almighty? You better believe I am. But I don't fully understand it. I can't dissect him. I cannot do it. But I do know this. I do know that when Christ died on the cross, a man died on the cross. And the Bible tells me plainly there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So when they say God is non-binary, God's a spirit being, but every reference to God's gender in the Bible is Father, 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 Father. When you pray, pray thusly, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Always the masculine gender. How do I understand that? As much as a little bit as I can. He's a spirit being, but when gender relates to him, it's always masculine. God the Father, Our Father. And Lord knows I pray that prayer. If you can't think of anything else to pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Isn't that something? You ever thought about that? Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thou is the kingdom, for thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So, he highly exalted him. Some of you try to push yourself forward. Don't do it. Let the rest of them push themselves forward. God will take care of your position. It's good enough. When they came to John the Baptist and said, don't you know, John, look here. John, you were the first one on the scene, man. You came out of nowhere. You came out of the deserts. And all of a sudden, here's this guy shows up, and he's baptizing more people than you are. John said, that's okay. He said, that's all right. He must increase and I must decrease. You all right with that, John? Yeah, I'm fine with it. He increases, I decrease. You see, I'm not worthy to carry shoes off the floor. And then the Lord comes back and says, you know something about John? I said, what's that? Among all them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John. And yet that same John, when they were about to execute him, was in prison. And they came. John said, go ask him, are thou the one that should come, or do we look for another? Now, preacher, you criticize? No sirree, buddy. I'd have probably been saying a lot worse if I'd been locked up in that pit. No. You know what the word was that came back to John? What did the Lord tell him? What did he tell him? He said, the lame are walking, the blind are seeing. I'm doing exactly what God sent me here to do. And John, you're where God wants you to be, John. And it wasn't long after that that John was transferred from this world unto the other. Yes, sir. His head was brought in a charger. I wonder how they lived with that after that. The head of John the Baptist, born of woman, none greater. John the Baptist was quite a man. It's not easy, folks. It's not easy. A lot of things aren't easy. Well, I'll close with a couple of things here. I want you to see this in Romans chapter number 8, though. Romans 8 and verse number 3. The Bible says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. The Lord Jesus was sinless. Notice the likeness. Notice the comparative thing here, likeness. Then in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 14, the scripture says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. These are important things for us. If we get a hold of them, it really gets a hold of our thinking processes. Now I'm going to close with this one. Look at chapter number 4. And verse number 8. Let's see if I can find it over here. Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise,
think on these things. Now, you have news networks, and you have Newsmax and Fox and others, and some folks stay glued to that 24/7. And you wonder why you get in such a spirit. I'm going to tell you why. The news will wear you out and depress you to death. It'll get you. Get away from it. Turn it off. Get your Bible. Turn on some good Christian music, if possible. Have fellowship with some of God's people. Get with some good people who love the Lord. As our brother said a moment ago, when BJ prayed down here, he prayed, stood right there. He stood right there before he took up the offering, and he prayed. And he said, "Lord, thank you for letting me be in a place with other people that love you." I'm paraphrasing him. "For allowing me to be in a place where other people love you in the midst of Christians." Isn't that good? Now, we could change the crowd in here and change the spirit real fast, couldn't we? Yes, we could. Who gets glorified in here today? Who gets exalted in this house? Whose name is above every name? That's how you know where you are. I'm not interested in all they got hanging on the walls. Whose name is exalted? Whose spirit is in that place? Do men and women come together around that name because of that spirit? This is what makes us who we are. Think on these things. Think on the good things. Think on the good things, and you'll be surprised at how it'll affect your life. If there be any praise, be any virtue, think on these things. I can't help but believe that any man or woman that'll focus their mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, how much he loves us, what he did for us, who he is, and is coming again. I can't help but believe that if you focus your mind and your attention on that, it's going to make a change in your life. It's going to bring some joy on your soul. It's going to give you some fellowship. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ are inseparable. Okay, let me say it again, slowly. If you have the Holy Spirit, then you have the Lord Jesus. If you have the Lord Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit. So what do you mean have? He's here, glorified. He's exalted. He's lifted up. Amen. So, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into this house. Help somebody sitting here this morning and you need help. We'll help you. We'll do the best we can, but we'll bring you to the one who can help you, who can raise you higher than you could ever raise yourself. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your word, the opportunity I had this morning, stand and preach it. Thank you for the sweetness of the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of the Spirit. There's somebody in this house today, Lord, they're crying out. They're reaching out. They're just hungry. They're tired. They won't help. Oh, Lord, help them. Oh, Lord, Jesus, help them in your holy name. Anybody down there, raise your hand and say, "Preacher, now, I want you to pray for me." And I will. I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm an ordained bishop of a church. That's what I am. That's who I am. That's what I do. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. I'll pray for you. Regardless of what political party you belong to, regardless of what country you belong to, I'll pray for you. That's who I am. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, raise your hand this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, I come in thy righteous name, Father, praying for these dear souls. Lord, I know how much you love them, what you can do for them, how you can help them. But, oh God, take that enemy and his blindness away from them. Pull his tentacles away from them. And, oh God, today let the sweetness and the fresh, the breath of the Holy Spirit of God move across their soul and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them, Father. Bring them to the place, Father, where they can be fed, they can be cleansed, they can be delivered. Bring them to the house, Father. Bring them to the place, Lord, where they come in one and leave another born of the Spirit of God, saved by the grace of God. Do that in Jesus' name, Lord. And for Jesus' sake, I ask it. Amen. All right, let's sing this morning, brother. Go ahead and stand up this morning, folks.